What's good? What's good? I am back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. So we're about to bring on another guest, and as you know, we interview nothing but fighters on here, a lot of bare-knuckle fighters, and a lot of BKFC fighters, but this guy is actually not in the BKFC, but he has a 1-2 record as a professional bare-knuckle fighter. He fights for Havoc FC, which is Havoc Fighting Championship. If I'm not mistaken, it's out of Canada. Let's bring on the one and only James Flash Dalzell.
What's up?
Did I get
up?
Your last name right? Is it Dalzell?
Dalzell, buddy. Yes, sir. I like to pronounce all the letters. Apparently, it was a Scottish name, and okay. So pronounced it Dazzle, but...
Oh, Dazzle? Wait, okay.
You nailed it, buddy. You got it.
So, what were you doing before you got into bare knuckle?
Oh, man. So, bare knuckle's been in my blood since day one. Just a little bit of backstory on me. Yeah, it's nice to meet you. Thank you, first off, for having me, Paul. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I've been watching some of your gigs. And, yeah, I love that you talked to bare knuckle because that's my jam, man. So, just backtrack it right off the bat. When I was about 8 years old, I got into karate. You know, just learned some martial arts that way. But as I was in karate, my sensei asked what I wanted to be when I was older. And first, I don't know why, but I remember this moment clear as day. I said I wanted to be a boxer, and I wanted to be a professional boxer at that. So that was in my head. My sensei thought that was ridiculous and basically talked me out of it. But it's always been in me. I started getting into hockey. Started playing hockey and got into a couple hockey fights, and crowd went bananas. And actually, it was the first time I'd seen my dad stand up and clap for me after I got into a nice tilt. We went toe to toe, throwing down, just like no one ever seen me do it. So I remember looking up at my dad, kind of just shyly, seeing if he was gonna, you know, looking with his buddy. He shouldn't, but I looked up and he was standing like the whole crowd just clapping and. So that was my bare knuckle. That's why I fell into bare knuckle and the boxing. When BKFC opened up, man, when I saw that was a thing, I was immediately drawn. I'd been training for a while to get into like UFC and go MMA because that was to me the upper echelon of fighting. But BKFC, man, since it's come in, I'm like that's where I want to be. So yeah, I've been calling out everybody everywhere online. Havoc, like you said, Havoc answered the call a year ago. I was ready. I said anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, I meant it. And then I had my first pro bare knuckle fight, and I've just been knocking at every door since.
So basically you got your opportunity by calling out other fighters. Were they like BKFC fighters?
No, I think the reason I got my opportunity is because I got my professional boxing license. I've been training boxing my whole life. I had a couple MMA fights. So I was talking to a couple of promoters. The promoter said, go get your professional boxing license. And they asked, you know, what your record is, what's your background, this and that. Mm-hmm. So I got an amateur boxing record from 20 years ago. I used to box back in the day. I was a pretty good boxer. And like I said, a bare knuckle hockey fighter. But the last 20 years, I had some concussion issues in between. I kind of gave up on the fight dream. I was told to hang up my skates 10 years ago. And they didn't say just hang up your skates. They said I shouldn't be doing any contact sports. I gave up contact sports for about 6-7 years. And I started training to get into track in 2020. In 2020, I was like really, I wanted to compete in the Masters in Toronto. Mm-hmm. They were having the World Championships in Toronto. I was ready, you know, hometown here in Canada. I was ready to train and go for that. But then, of course, stuff got shut down and things happened and the championships were canceled. And the reason why I got into track again is because I started feeling really good getting into athlete mode. I wasn't allowed to fight or do contact sports. So I figured track was a good way to go. So been hustling at that. And then, well, you know, well, COVID that was going on and we were all stuck in our house. I was, you know, mentally going through a lot of stuff. And I was like, I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life right now. I feel better than I've ever felt. And, you know, BKFC's got this awesome thing going on. I'm like, I think that I want a bare knuckle fight. Like that's my jam. That's what I want to do. So yeah, first off, I messaged David Feldman a couple of years ago and we were actually having some conversations. Mm-hmm. It sounded like he was going to bring me in, but like literally about a week later, he's like, we'll talk in a week. We'll talk to some doctors. And honestly, a week later, it just blew up. And they've been signing the biggest fighters on the planet. And yeah, I'm still knocking at the door, still asking. But yeah, I fought for Havoc last year, answering the bell. I always do. Anybody, they asked, I said, 100%, I'll take that fight. And BKFC, I told Nate Shook, I told David Feldman, I said, let me just put me on any card against anybody. I'm telling you, we're going to put on a show. I promise. I don't care who it is.
So what can you tell us about Havoc FC Fighting Championship?
Yeah, man, Havoc is a phenomenal Canadian promotion. It's in Alberta, Red Deer. Okay. They strictly run out of Red Deer. They've been going at, so last year was my first year with them. They've been, their last event was 19, Havoc FC 19. So they've been doing it a while. Really great spot, great fight, and great fighters, man. They were the first ones to bring bare knuckle to Canada. They actually just beat BKFC by a week. So okay. I was trying to get onto the BKFC fight, but I just had a fight a week prior with Havoc. So they actually are the first to bring bare knuckle to Canada in quite a while. So very, very awesome promotion to be part of. And yeah, they fed me the best, and I had a couple of big tilts in 2024. And like I said, I'm just knocking on whoever's door, and right, I want to take on the best on the planet.
So how long ago was that when they brought bare knuckle to Canada? Actually,
it was just about a year ago. It was January, because it was just they just allowed it to pass like this time last year. And I was on the first card of it. Actually, it was February 14th or 18th. It was right before the BKFC. I think it was like a couple weeks. It was pretty wild. And now they've been running the events bare knuckle on every show. I did all three of the shows they had last year. Some great bare knuckle talent there, man. They have a couple BKFC fighters that have fought with them too.
So are most of their fighters Canadian?
Yeah, everybody that's fought in bare knuckle there so far for last year, I believe that all the bare knuckle fighters were Canadian. Yes. And, we got some of the best on the planet, man. I'm telling you, I fought Tim Tamaki twice this year, and this guy is an MMA legend. Like his chin, his name's Tim the Chin, and he stands by it. 55 pro fights, dude's never been stung. He actually told me after the last fight, it's the first time anybody's ever rung his bell, and I could see it in his eyes too. So it was cool. I mean, kind of a weird, you know, weird thing, but cool to hear that one of the best is, get in there and have him feel something he's never felt before.
So you got BKFC has the squared circle, as they call it. BYB has the triangle ring. What is it like fighting in the octagon cage for bare knuckle?
Oh man, I love it. Like that's, I'll be real with you. The cage is, you know, it's the OG. My man, I don't know if Gary Goodrich is my coroner, my man. Like he's my mentor, trainer, coach, manager, and you know, he just seeing that you know, the original, that cage, man, just being in a cage, you feel like a caged animal. There's nothing quite like that. I love it.
So I watched your first fight with Josh, how you pronounce his name?
Yes, sir. Joshua Lattiser.
Okay. And you won, and a win is a win, but I do feel like that fight could have went on a little bit longer.
Oh, 100%. Dude, it was, I would say it was an early stoppage, but in the same breath, like you couldn't see what the doctors see. Yeah. And I could see the look in his eyes. Like, you know, he tried to kick me right before, right? Like he wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's tough, right? You look at something like that, you're like, oh, he split his lip wide open. That was an early stoppage. And yeah, but the shot, like I hit him with a couple shots and you get, cause he's tough as hell. These guys are tough, right? You guys bare knuckle fighters aren't weak. And we're Canadians. We're like, you know what I mean? It's like, we're tough. I think I broke my knuckle on the guy's hand, on his face, right? Like, dude's tough. But there was a look in his eye for a second there, and it's like, I don't know. Maybe at that the time, I think he didn't want to continue, but he's asked for a rematch. You know, we were trying to set rematches up all year. Absolute warrior he is, and I can't wait. We will go again at some point, whenever the time is right.
Do you feel like is he a former MMA fighter himself?
Yes. Yes, he is. He had a... he had 11 pro MMA fights before that fight. So he was, but he's more of he's a striker, right? And he's a swinger. It was a great matchup, and it would have been these fights easily could have been fight of the night contention every time if they, you know, it's just, you never know with bare knuckle. Things happen. Yeah, yeah. You, and ultimately, I think it's important they do take care of the fighters. Like I said, he got his bell rung, and a couple more shots in bare knuckle, it's, you know, you bust some people up.
Do you think being in the octagon, if you're a former MMA fighter, you might could like forget that it's actually bare knuckle instead of MMA, and that's why he might have kicked you?
100%, and I could tell right away. You know, like I said, yeah. I hit him with a bomb. Right, yeah. It was hard to tell because it didn't put it, but it was a bomb, and he might have just forgot where he was for a second. Saw the cage, thinks killer instinct, right? I didn't take any offense or anything else to it, but it's again, it wasn't intentional. But that's a good indication to show, like, okay, maybe he did get his bell rung pretty hard.
So you got two straight losses against this Tim Tamaki.
Yeah.
The first fight was a lot quicker than the second. So it seems like the second you definitely learned something about this guy, but it was still a knockout. What do you feel like is still your biggest mistake or mistakes with fighting this guy?
Yeah, okay. I'll give you a breakdown first off. I went into the first fight with Tim Tamaki. Like I said, I've had 100 fights bare knuckle on skates, right? And I've never been knocked down in a fight. So yeah. I'm like, okay, the chin, we're going to go, we're going to swing, and I'm going to come out and smash this guy, and I'm going to be victorious. And I dropped my hands. You know what I mean? I let him, because I thought I could take a couple shots at 145. I've been hit by 195. I've been hit by 210 by monsters. So I thought I could take it, and bare knuckle, right? On skates. So my bad, I thought I could take it, but he hit me right in the chin, right in the button, dropped me. And yeah, so I knew going in, I learned, like, okay, well, you can't, I'm not invincible this way. So the second fight went and same type of deal. But here was the biggest issue for me in the second fight. Mentally, man. Like, just so, because nobody knows, I don't complain, I don't say anything. But before the fight, the weigh-in, everything was cool at the weigh-in. Weigh-ins were all good. But I went to talk to the doctors. They went through everything. Physically, I was ready to go. But they found they found white matter or something that wasn't there a year ago, right?
What's white matter?
So in your brain, you have white matter in your brain. It's always kind of there, but it's usually not showing. So it was showing. There was a spot basically on my brain that they were like, huh, that wasn't there a year ago. We need to search that. But my doctor was like, no, everything should be good. We'll put an MRI in just, you know, to be safe, everything else. So, but the doctors, of course, there, you know, they all had to talk about it and say, hey, what, like, we got to look into this. This might not be a thing that happens. So anyway, there's a lot of talk that basically that night they told me that fight was not likely to happen. I said, just so I have somewhat of something going on in my, they like, what are the odds that I actually get to fight? And the doctor said, well, honestly, not good. So the commission went through doctors and neurologists and had all kinds of calls and meetings. And the next day I sat down with seven of them. They gave me a stack of paper and they basically said, like, ultimately you're deciding here, but just so you know, these are the consequences. We don't know. This could happen. Like, basically went into that fight thinking, you know, live or die, as you always do. That's always an option. But literally, like, signing my life away that nobody's, the only person liable right now is you.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot going on in my head. And, you know, he hit me with a couple good shots. And bare knuckle, man. I took a couple bombs again. And Tim Tamaki's an absolute pro, right? He's got 55 pro fights. That was my third. Regardless of all the street fights, everything else, how tough you are, the dude's, like, mentally, that wins fights, right? And the guy's been there, done that, knows what's up. So we'll go again at some point. You know, it might have been a big jump for me to fight one of the best in Canada right off the bat. But like I said, that's who I want. I want the best. I want to test it. I want to test where I'm at. And again, I know that I could come out winning against him. Might make the right decisions.
Now, the fact that you fight him back to back, are y'all limited in fighters in this league?
Yeah, apparently. Because then that's the thing, too. 145, which is a great division, but apparently nobody wants to fight in it. Here in Canada. So that's what they were basically, I was told that at the last one. He's like, dude, we're trying to find guys to fight you, but just, and I don't know what else it is. Like, Robert Desarnais, who's fought a couple times for BKFC, the Slim Reaper, I'm pretty certain he's 145. I keep my eyes on this. I'm like, I don't like calling guys out because, you know, I do online for fun because, you know, I'll call up Kai Stewart all the time as, you know, I want to yell out at the best. I want to yell out at the best. It's Rocky here. Like, I know I can go in and bang with anybody on the planet at 145. I know that for a fact.
So you be calling out King Kai, huh?
Well, just for fun, you know, King Kai versus King James. Let's go. Like, I 100% would do it. I told BKFC, I told Nate. I mean, they kind of had a laugh, you know, because a 1-2 fighter from Canada is not going to fight the no champ BKFC. But I get it, but I just want you guys to know. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm coming. I'm coming for it.
Yeah, that's actually, in the BKFC, that's a really stacked division. I mean, you got King Kai, Brandon Allen, you got El Gallo, you got Howard Davis.
It's probably the best division. It's the best division in the whole thing, man. I'd say, which is cool. And that's where I want to be. You know, let's bring Connor back too. I bet you he can get down to 145. We should throw him in that tournament they're talking about, and off we go.
So is the ultimate goal here is to try to get into the BKFC or possibly the BYB?
That was the ultimate goal. To be honest, I started a federation myself with Gary Goodrich, and we're doing the first event in May here in Barrie. It's an MMA here because it's not legal in Ontario to do bare knuckle. But my goal is to be the first to bring bare knuckle to Canada. I think I've told a lot of people that too. I want to work with BKFC though. I want to work with the best guys and whoever it may be. I've talked to matchmaker Mel in BYB. I've let all the guys know. They all know. And I just say, hey, yeah, I'll hop in my car. I'll drive over there and I'll throw down anytime you need me. I told them for Knuckle Mania, I just say, hey, just any, you know, whoever, if somebody drops out, just know I'm ready at the drop of a dime.
So I guess you're talking about the Official Fight Federation.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about that. Like, when is your first event, you said?
Sorry.
When you say the first event was?
The first event is May 9th.
May 9th.
May 9th in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. It's going to be awesome. They just opened up. I'm sorry. They just opened up amateur MMA. So couple wicked changes in combat sports here in Canada and in Ontario specifically. So really excited about that. So May 9th, like I said, they were just getting the details down, starting to talk to the fighters. It's going to be a pro-am event, first of its kind in Ontario, and absolutely stoked. Gary Goodrich, like I said, going to be a big part of it. We got a good team putting this together, and you know, I'm inviting on BKFC, BYB, all these guys to come take a look, because we got some tough guys here. This is the up and comers, Official. I love the name of it, the Official Fight Federation. Like, I'm starting it here in Canada, homemade in Gary Goodrich's backyard. He's from Barrie. So it's pretty neat. I'm from Penetanguishene, very small town. So thought about doing it here, but it's not even big enough.
And how many fights do you expect to have on this card?
We're aiming for 12. We're aiming for about 12, just because you know how things happen. If one or two have to fall by the wayside, and we're aiming for like 6 pro, 6 amateur fights is kind of the goal.
And we might
do a couple
FC.
Pardon me?
Do they got any females yet? Does Havoc FC got any female fighters yet?
So that's a big one. That's what I was going to throw out there too. Thank you for asking. So they didn't have any in the 3 fights I was at. I believe they would. And that's something I 100% said we need to make sure.
Yeah.
There's a couple really good female fights because there's some amazing women out there in the sport. I've messaged a couple. I think I got a couple that are there's the word's out. There's a couple that are interested that could be really, really big. And I'm super excited about it. I'm not going to say names or anything yet because managers and, you know, we're just in the infancy of it right now. So.
Yeah. The females tend to have a better chance of getting fight at a night because they usually go like the distance in their fights.
Big time. And they're it's wild. They always throw down, man. It's kind of the way I look at this is back, kind of like back in the day, sometimes the heavyweights, if they kept going and they get tired, you know, it gets slower. And the 145s, the little dudes were going crazy. Like every female fighter are like the little spat, like crazy tough dudes with like, yeah, they got a combination of both, man. It's you can't differentiate what's better anymore. Most women fight lately. Most female fights have been by far the fights of the night in a lot of shows.
Now, how do you feel about the future of bare knuckle fighting?
Oh my goodness, dude. It's the fastest growing for a reason. I think that this is not going anywhere. That's why I'm jumping on board so fast. That's why I want to, I put it all on bare knuckle. I think bare knuckle's the future. Which is weird, right? We're bringing back the past for the future. It's the best. I'm doing studies on it for, like, you know, we're talking about keeping athletes safe and brain health. You take way less brain damage with bare knuckle, way less, like not even a question.
Yep. And fighters can actually fight a lot quicker because they'll go in there and might knock somebody out with one punch, two punches, don't get a scratch, and they're able to fight probably next month.
100%. That's why this tournament that Recast is doing, I love it. And honestly, I was thinking about earlier today because I'm like, maybe there's a way we can figure this out, talking with all these rules and everything, where we can go back to, you know, we can do three fights in a night if you don't get hit. Yeah. You end some. You see, guys they end fights in 8 seconds. You can do that's neat. You can do that if you go in and pop guys. You don't get hit. You could have three fights in a night and only be a minute.
Speaking of that tournament, what have you heard about that tournament?
As much as everybody else, man. It's I keep throwing out my ideas at it because all I've heard is that it's going to be a tournament. Originally, they said like 1,000. You know, it was anybody, whatever. But then the last I heard was that it's narrowed down to like 64. I haven't heard anything about weight class or anything else, but I keep throwing. I said, do it at 145. Do it at 145. Kai's undefeated. He's trying to find. They're trying to find somebody. I know there's all kinds of great matchups, but let's just walk. Let's walk down the line with it.
So I interviewed Justin Martinez yesterday, who's fighting at BKFC Pechanga, and he said it's 145 and up. But we were talking about it's really confusing because you going to have a guy like Mick Terrell fight somebody like Kai Stewart? Like, that's not
that's
even
the thing.
Really fair.
Doesn't make sense. And that's where it's going to get interesting because,
yeah,
I mean, I guess you could go, maybe this is what's happening. You could maybe do an open weight class, right? It's nutty. It's nutty, but you know, then the 145ers like me and Kai will probably start putting on a bit of weight because that kind of money, 100% is Kumite shit, right? Like, sorry for pardon me, but I'm in. I'll put on 25 pounds to do it.
Now, how do you feel about the fighters coming out of Canada? And is there any other fighters that you know that people should be on the lookout for?
Well, 100%. There's some amazing fighters in Canada. Like I said, Tim Tamaki just beat me twice. 100%. That's the dude. He's I'm certain he's gonna be fighting for the title for Havoc at 145. The guys fought him all. He's tough as hell. Again, I came into all this to be that guy. My goal for 2024 was to be 4-0, knock on BKFC's door and smash him. Like, that's why Robert Desharnais, I want that fight pretty bad. He's 2-0, looks great on paper at BKFC. You know, same kind of controversy, maybe early fight stoppage or weird ones. But I, you know, that's the fight I want. He's 2-0 in BKFC. He's Canadian. He's 145. I'd love that fight. And that's why I'm maybe going to throw it on May 9th. Maybe I ask him, and I don't, for MMA, we just say, screw it. We're standing and we're boxing with these gloves on because that's all we can do in Canada.
Now, I've seen you on millions.co and you be doing watch parties. How often are you doing these watch parties?
Well, this is, I'm doing my first one actually this Saturday. They just approached me on it and I couldn't wait. I'm excited. So I'm doing one UFC 311, and then I'm going to actually be doing Knuckle Mania. So I'm pretty excited about this. These are the first two that I'm doing. Stoked to just be able to sit there, watch the fights, analyze, talk about the way I see it and what's up. And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, they just texted me today. They asked me about doing the one this weekend, but I keep telling them you got to let me know a week in advance because I got so much going on because I got another podcast too, but I'm definitely going to be doing something for Knuckle Mania. I know that much.
Nice. Maybe we can hop on it together or something.
That's what I was thinking, man. Maybe we could figure something out where we can do it together and possibly bring in some other fighters from BKFC and whatnot. You know, I mean, I've interviewed a bunch of fighters last year and we'll be interviewing a lot more this year as well. So
yeah, that's awesome. Dude, yeah, you're talking to some of the best, right? It's an honor to be on your show. So thank you again for having me.
Now, I saw something. I want to make sure this is true. Did you run for mayor in Toronto?
That is 100% true. Yeah. So this is some stuff. People don't believe a lot of stuff about me because I honestly am I'm a little bit crazy. I'm a Gemini. I've actually ran for I ran for the mayor of Toronto. Story on that was Rob Ford, right? The mayor of Toronto, the crack mayor, all the stories going on that. all the wildness. And, you know, I'm in Toronto. I got to vote. That's our right. We have to vote. And I said, I'm a man of my word. I said, if he runs again and they allow it, because there's so much crazy stuff going on, I said, I'm going to run against him. And then they allowed him to run. Everything was allowed. So I ran for mayor. And then I also, you know, I like to really test life. The truth of it all was, you know, you need a lot of money and you need a lot of backing to do it properly. So it was a nice little life lesson. But I've been running for council every year since then here in Penetanguishene. And I just threw my name out for PM since ours just backed down. And I'm 100% like, I'm a fighter. Prime Minister? Yeah, buddy, why not? I'm going to write my own name on that ballot. I'm the only person I trust.
Now, Canada, they're about as politically divided as America right now, aren't they?
100%, man. It's crazy. This is the world we live in right now.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't want to stay on politics too much. Sure. I know it becomes like, it could become very divisive conversations for a lot of people. So you're going to be trying to fight at basically your event coming up, right? And
yeah.
You got any more fights lined up for the Havoc FC though right now?
Well, it's nothing yet. I haven't, they have an event on March 28th. Okay. It's going to be, on millions.co as well with the pay-per-view. And I haven't heard anything. I think because like you said, there's so little 145s. I imagine I'm pretty certain Tim Tamaki's fighting on the card and they're not going to give us three, but you know what I mean? So I think they found somebody else for him and that's fair. I was blessed to be the face of the event for them a couple times on their poster and whatnot. So I don't believe that I'm going to have a fight there, but like I said, I'm looking, there's so many BKFC events. I've told the guys like I'll cross the border. I'll do whatever. Just I'll get there. I'm ready to fight anytime. BKFC, BY, they all know. So I'll probably likely get a last minute fight at some point. I'm really hoping to have a fight like soon, because then I'm going full in on May 9th.
And when you say it's going to be streaming on millions.co, are you going to be doing like a listening party for that or?
No, I just mean they show the pay-per-view. The Havoc FC will have their pay-per-view on Millions.
Okay. And where do they usually, is that the only place that you can typically go to watch it?
Yeah, I believe it's either just on Millions or live at the Red Deer Casino.
And what kind of crowds are they pulling at these events?
Some great crowds, man. I think the last one was 1,500, you know, pretty decent. As many as it can hold in there. Like, it's not a huge venue, so it's pretty good.
So they do the same venue every time?
They have been, yeah. So I think, I walked into a new era of Havoc FC because it was their first event at that venue in February. And then, you know, I worked all three with them and it just got getting better every time. They sell that place out and it's a great venue, good spot to be, a lot of fun. And I'm just kind of trying to replicate it a little bit in Ontario now, but a bit bigger. Barry's and I want to travel with the Official Fight Federation too. So in May, we're going to have a big, it's a whole, it sounds like they can hold about 4,000 people. Great venue. OHL, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's the Ontario Hockey League. The Barry Colts play out of there. Just a really, really nice state, like great stadium. Good time. It's going to be good.
Yeah, that seems really smart because I know BKFC, they milked the hell out of that Hollywood, Florida, Seminole Hard Rock Cafe over and over again. You can count at least every 3 or 4 months that they're going to be there.
Man, they should. It's a great spot and they get the people in. Everybody loves it, right? Speaking of that, I know I don't want to talk politics or anything else, but I want to give the love out to everybody in LA and in California with the fires. I'm a firefighter as well. I told my wife that I'd announce it on here that like I'm a volunteer firefighter. I want to volunteer my services out there. If I can help anywhere, you know, we do a lot of search and rescue. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. If I can help, I definitely want to help out there.
You know who else is a firefighter? I've interviewed him. He's probably one of the greatest human beings I've ever interviewed and had the luxury to meet, and that's Chris Lights Out Lytle, man.
Nice. I didn't know Lytle was a firefighter. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's been a lifetime firefighter. Yeah.
Amazing. And I love that, dude. And that's where I've had so many conversations with my wife about it. Like, fighting is my goal. I want to do this with my life. This is my thing. And you know, being a firefighter, some of this some of this stuff is hard to try and work together, but ultimately something like this happens and I'm like, how can I help? How can I volunteer my services? And I was talking to it to my wife, like just talking about it and thinking it through today. It's like, I got to try and find a way to get out there and help how I can.
I think something that upset me, like on the political spectrum, is that firefighters were bunched in with police.
Yeah.
And I'm just different. Like, that's like apples and oranges that y'all comparing, man.
100%, it really is. It is different. And I mean, there's a lot of the similarities and brotherhood type stuff with it.
Yeah, but it
is quite different, right? Like as a firefighter for me, like, you know, we're all lumped in as first responders. But ultimately, our goal, our job is to save lives, right? We're putting up fires and helping people to save lives. And it is the most rewarding thing possible, I think.
Yeah, it takes a certain kind of person to risk their life to save other lives. I would say majority of society is far too selfish for that.
I definitely
commend you for that. Now, how often would you like to fight as a bare knuckle fighter? I'm hearing like 5 to 6 fights a year is like the high number for most people.
For sure, man. Like I was aiming for my goal. I've been telling all the promoters too that I want to be the most active fighter as well. And I think, you know, to be that would probably be five or six would be the most active. And you could do it as long as you're ending fights quick and do it. Like you could definitely do it in bare knuckle. But, you know, I think a realistic goal is, as we saw kind of last year, hopefully not as many losses, but, you know, four fights, go 4-0, move through that kind of quarterly pretty quick. I think that's sort of a fair move. That was the goal last year. I wanted to finish the year with 4 or 5 fights. You know, obviously being undefeated is a nice goal, but it's bare knuckle. Losses happen, and I think you're going to see that a little bit more. The guys lose fights. You're not going to see unblemished records unless guys are really handpicking, right?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's one thing that fighters can't really dwell on is going undefeated for so long. Even Kai Stewart's going to run into that person that's going to take him out, you know? I mean, because like Ryan Reber, one of my fighters, he was undefeated 5-0, 6-0. As soon as he got in there with Blas, I mean, Blas did what Blas does, you know? And they'd be like, you know, can he make it out the first round? Well, like, he doesn't have to because nobody can make it past the first round with him.
100%, man. That's just the nature of it. And that's my goal. Like people say, oh man, you don't get your fights in the first round. I'm like 100%. I'm going to finish the fights or they're going to get, it's one round. We're going 2 minutes and we're going bananas because we're putting on a show. And if you can get out of the 2 minutes or I can get out of the 2 minutes, well, we're going to put on a nice show.
And how many rounds are y'all doing to Havoc?
It's been different per contract, but like they try and aim for the two minutes, 5 rounds. The last I've been doing, the ones I've been signing have been two minute rounds, 4 rounds. But I think that the heavyweights and the champions, I think that they did like, they signed a weird, it was like 3 minutes, 6 rounds or 2 6-2 minute. I don't know. It was different than that. What you're used to in BKFC and typical bare knuckle.
Yeah, well, BYB I think does three minute rounds if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe they BKFC do three as
does
well.
The 2 minute, but even 4 minutes, 4 rounds at 2 minutes can be very tiring for some fighters. I mean, look at Loco Soto and Tanaglia. They got to the fourth round and it looked like a Rocky movie, man.
Dude. 8 minutes of throwing bare knuckle bombs is an eternity. We're here to fight, right? Most of these guys, all of us, like we're here to put on a show, and that means as many punches and as much action as possible. And we're going until one of the guys falls. If it takes 8 minutes, yeah, it's going to be deadly.
Now, how do you feel about fighting in the clinch?
I love it. I love it. It's my thing. I'm a hockey fighter, right? So I'm used to. I don't even want to do it anymore. My jab is really, really, really good. My left's solid, but I don't use it because I instinct hockey fight, grab and clinch right away. Clinch and chuck. So I love it. It's a great part of the game. I love that you can use it, but I gotta get it out of my mentality and start using the left a bit more.
What do you think is something that, like, if somebody comes from boxing or MMA that they get in a bare knuckle? What's something that they probably underestimate or they're really not expecting to happen in bare knuckle?
I think they'd underestimate the absolute toughness of it, man. It's different to get hit by a bare knuckle. It's different to go bone on bone, man. When your cheek's getting a knuckle in the face or your jaw's taking that, it's a different beast. And I think most guys know that. You hear MMA guys all the time, "Oh, you're nuts, man. I'd never do that." I'm like, it's a different beast, man. The MMA guys, I just don't think, or the guys that haven't done it, they just don't know what they're in for.
Yeah, because a lot of the BKFC fighters, they like clamoring and licking their lips to fight these guys that want to come over from boxing and think they're just going to get in there bare knuckle, or come over from an MMA and think they're going to get in a bare knuckle. Because, I mean, you can't wrestle, you can't kick, can't throw no knees, elbows. All you could do is really active clinches and put your hands behind their neck, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, basically. You have to be active. So if you clinch, you got to be, you got to be swinging and throwing. And it's
The rules in Canada about exactly the same as the rules in United States for bare knuckle?
Havoc's been running with the same rule set. I believe it's there. They go with the, I actually think it's the, either New Jersey, New Jersey state law or boxing, bare knuckle boxing law. They go by one of the U.S. ones. So it's probably the exact same bare knuckle, the same as BKFC.
Now, is there any fighters in BKFC that you actually study?
Oh man, I watch them all. Kai's one that I really watch, and I find it interesting because he does fight a very different style. I study them all. I do watch a lot of them, man, and it's super interesting to you see, like, bare knuckle is so different. You have guys that are very technical, great boxing, like head movement. Some guys really use their weight properly. Some guys are just, you know, very evasive and don't get hit. I thought Kai Stewart, for one, is super interesting, as coming from like a wrestling background. I still can't compute how he's doing it. He's somebody I really, truly, in all respect and honor, would love to fight, because I think it's an interesting matchup. I know him and Duranga get like that's gonna get hyped up pretty good, and it makes sense. And I think that's gonna be a great tilt. But the 145 is an awesome division, man. And I love, just everybody's got such a different style, and I think I match up against any one of them really well.
Why do you think he's hated so much,
Kai?
Yeah, they hate. I mean, the other fighters, they just like really shit on Kai.
I know, but you know, I think I can tell. I know my guess, my assumption on it is because he's like the John Jones of bare knuckle. Like, he just finds ways to win. You know what I mean? It's a different style. His style, I don't understand it. I'm like, how does this guy keep going distance in fights? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I want to get in there because I'm like, no, my fights don't. It's bare knuckle fights. They don't last that long. They shouldn't last that long. So I think guys hate on him just because he finds a way to pick you apart and win. He's a winner. That's why I really love and respect and want an opportunity to go with him, because I want to get him in there and just test, you know, let's test the both of us. He just finds a way to win, and I think people don't like that, right?
And I think they might underestimate him because of his age and being so young. I mean, he's the youngest champion in BKFC history, if I'm not mistaken.
100, and he will be.
Yeah, and nobody can figure him out. Nobody can figure him out. It's crazy.
I know. That's why I love it, right? I'm like, I got this game plan where I'm like, I know how to beat him. I know I can beat him, but everybody else has thought that too. So it's interesting. And you know what? Commend him. He just keeps winning. You said, it's bare knuckle, and at some point the right person's gonna come along, or the wrong person for him, I guess. Right. And
I really grew to love him around the Howard Davis fight, because that's when I first got into interviewing the bare knuckle fighters. And me and this other guy were doing a show, Circle of Kings. He's now with Knuckletown Official and whatnot, because we had a falling out. But, you know, I know for a fact, because somebody who got me into this works for BKFC, and I know that some of the people for BKFC, they wanted Howard Davis to win that match because Shaq is his sponsor. And then it didn't work that way. And then they wanted El Gallo to win because he's like the big ticket seller, you know, but like, selling tickets ain't going to help you in the ring. And I don't know if they necessarily wanted Jimmy Rivera to win, even though Jimmy Rivera's he's a legend, you know. But I think at this point, like, they realize they got to stop betting against this guy, man.
For sure. For sure. It's wild, right? They keep setting it up for him to lose. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's 100%. I get what you're saying. And you can see it. You can see it. They're leaning onto it now because they have to, right? Like, he's he deserves it. But yeah, I know. I see. I even as an outsider, as a promoter, as somebody deep in the game who studied all of it. I can see what you're saying.
How do you feel about the politics of the fight game? Because that's definitely part of the politics of the fight game.
Yeah, man, it's like honestly, it's like politics and everything. I don't like it. I hate it. But you know what? I'll run for prime minister because I don't like the politics. I think it's ridiculous. But truth be told, that's life and it has to happen. And, you know, sometimes you got to stand up and fight for stuff.
Now, are you running as a conservative, a libertarian, independent, or a Democrat?
Well, I'd have to be independent. I don't think anybody would latch on with me. But yeah. So I'm going to be a write-in candidate to say, like, more as a joke, just to be like, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you some truth, though. I'm also, I work for Canada Post, which is a, you know, big thing, not talking politics or anything else, but strikes are going on and all kinds of other things. Just like the world is, you know, there's some stuff going on in the world. And I want to go right to the top with it and be real. Like, hey, guys, we all need to open our eyes and we need to talk. We need to talk about this stuff as much as we, you know, there's things we keep our mouth shut about. We need to talk about it because it's people are getting stepped on and hurt and crushed. And that's not we as humans. I don't care what it is. We need to stick up for each other and help each other.
And fighters seem to be guys that will take a stance, you know, and be vocal. You got, what's his name? Sean, what's that fighter's name? Sean something that always getting political. He just got in a fight.
Strickland. Sean Strickland?
Sean Strickland. He's very political.
Yeah, he's always good. Yeah, well, you're right. And they're all, you know, Dana White was maybe, let's be real, Dana White and Joe Rogan were probably the reason why Trump gets elected. Take those two away, you flip the coin on that, they turn that whole thing over. 100%, they flip that, right? So fighters are fighters. At the end of the day, it's in your heart. It doesn't matter what it is. You fight or flight, right? And the fighters are going to fight for whatever it is.
And even John Jones, he didn't say nothing, but just getting out and handing Trump the belt, that's a statement in itself right there, you know? And I've noticed fighters, they seem to lean more on the conservative side from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. The ones that they show, I mean, at least, and you see the ones that they really throw out there, it's, you know, they're making it evident. It's obvious where they're going with it. I don't know. But it's fighters, to me, honestly, the more I look at it and look into politics and everything else, it's all got to change and everybody's got to get it figured out together because there's parts of all of them that are good, but there's also parts of them, all of them, that are not. And, like, I don't think we can lean on one thing anymore, and we're seeing that, right? It's like a 50-50 tear, so we need to get together and figure out, okay, well, what works for everybody here? Let's make this work right.
And I think it doesn't help when, like, leagues like the NBA take a political stance where they just lean solely on one side, you know, and don't, you know, they're just totally biased against the other side. I think that really doesn't help things out. You know, it just tears people. Because, like, when people want to be entertained, I mean, we already got politics in movie. We don't need it in every single sport.
100%, man. Sport is the beauty thing for me for sport. And this is why, like you said, there's a reason why you keep them separate because sports to get away from all that stuff. It's to entertain. Yeah. We want to entertain. Yeah. The world. This is why all this shit is crazy now, for real. We're all entertained by politics now, and that's taking over the, right? And now, okay, we got to be careful what we say. We got to watch this and that. It's becoming too much. And that's, we can't even get away from it. And people are so torn. It's so 50-50. There's no, it's black or white. There's no gray area.
Yeah.
And we can't for some, and that's a big human flaw right now. We got to just get together and be like, guys, what are we doing? We're tearing not only ourselves apart, we're destroying the planet. Like, let's get this figured out.
Yeah, I don't really see it going back. I just know when I go watch a BKFC fight, I don't want to I don't want to be shamed into voting a certain way. I know that much.
No kidding. Go in there and fight. Like you get mad. I mean, some people, you let people say what they want to say, but but you know, you want to entertain and you want to fight. You keep that out of it sometimes, right?
So a lot of fighters I've interviewed say it's hard making a living as a fighter. Now, with that being said, does the fight journey always have to be about the love of the sport and the competition?
Man, ultimately, yes, I think it does. I mean, it does for me. It's different for different people, but I love this. I've had to work 100 jobs. It's like acting. It's like everything else in entertainment. You need to love this with everything you got because it's going to be near impossible to make a living. I had three fights last year. You'd think that would have been great. That wasn't going to pay the bills. You got fight camps. You got to train for that. That's the time, energy, mental focus, everything you got to put into this game to do it and do it properly. Yeah. Like don't be expecting to go out there and make a lot of money. You need to go through all of this other stuff first. Maybe it'll happen eventually, you know, but the odds are so slim.
And even more so with bare knuckle, cause it's such a young sport, right?
Big time. The money's not there right now. I mean, hopefully it is now with this tournament. That's going to open a lot of eyes, and I think it's going to be fantastic. It's such a cool concept, which we still don't really know exactly what it is, but I love the idea behind it. You're putting $5 million on the line. That's huge, right? Like was it five or was it bigger than that?
It's 25 million.
25. Yeah. See, it's like, it could be $500 and I'm fighting. So
I think one fighter will win like 15 million, but there's going to be 10 million of other prizes, I guess, spread out.
Yeah.
So there could be multiple fighters could come out here with some M's in a pocket.
For sure. It's phenomenal. It's great to see, right? Like there's money in the sport. There's money in this for sure. And it's nice to see it going back to the fighters because ultimately that's what it's about. It's about the fighters. That's who's bringing in the crowd. That's who's bringing in the money.
I think it's a very bold move being that BKFC is not really hit profitability yet. You know, Feldman just said recently he hopes they get it this year. And, you know, they're going to Italy. When they're going to Dubai, they should make a lot of money in Dubai. I know that much.
It's the year I can tell for BKFC, man. I'm just sitting here applauding. I've messaged Feldman a number of times just to, you know, always give him his props. He's a busy man, got a lot going on, but like he's obviously just doing it right. And it's like massive props. BKFC is doing exactly what my dream is. Like it's wicked. I'd love to just be part of that journey. You know, it's phenomenal. And I don't see it going anywhere. BYB as well. I love everything that they're doing, but it just right now, it seems like BKFC is starting to not only take over the sport, combat sports in general. It's looking like the biggest thing going.
I think the reason why BKFC is better than BYB is when I'm watching it, the production looks different. The guys commentating are not as good. And the names of BYB, for some reason, they just don't stand out as much to me.
It's very true, man. Like, Mark Irwin was one of the ones that was really, to me, like throwing BYB on his back. I didn't hear a lot from many other fighters, but Mark the Shark Irwin, you hear about, you know, he's out there being a character. He's doing for the sport what you need from guys. Right. But I'm with you. It's just, I love it. I love, the big man running the show, you know, he's always got his hype going and everything, but then it just seems to have a little bit, it doesn't have the same hype, the production quality, like all that stuff you talk about is huge. You need the right announcers. You need to bring the right game, which is kind of weird too. Cause isn't Goldman's, he's the announcer for them, but he's involved with BYB, I believe. Right.
I think, and you know, it's owned by, I know that Dada 5000, I think his name is, he came up with a triangle ring. You got Mike Vasquez.
Yes.
And Greg Bloom is CEO now, who's a sports entertainment lawyer. I interviewed him, and I'm supposed to be interviewing a lot more BYB fighters this year because, you know, I definitely, like, I'm trying to, you know, learn more. I mean, you got Gustavo, who used to be the BKFC over there. He's undefeated. They say LT Smash Nelson is the best bare-knuckle fighter in the world, you know, from what I heard, but that fight got canceled, so that can't be a good look. You know, him and James, I think Connolly, his name is.
Yeah.
But it's like when I go down BKFC, man, I mean, like you just said, we just said the featherweight, you know, division. I mean, if you get to BKFC, I mean, that's a tough division. You got Kai, you got El Gallo, Howard Davis has definitely got star power.
Yeah, man.
I'm a big Redneck Mundell fan. I feel like they do him wrong.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wouldn't mind touching on that too, because he's like, that's a weird one, right? That's a tough one, because he clearly wants Perry, and it's the only real fight. Like, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It's got to happen, and it's weird, because it does seem like Mike Perry doesn't want it. And I guess they're kind of like, but at a certain point, you just got to say, hey, guys, this fight's happening. That's the fight. Like,
and Mike Perry's a star, too. I ain't go, you know, I'm not a big fan of him, but I'm not going to front him. I mean, you got Austin, no doubt, Trout.
Yeah.
Rico Franco, who was literally, I've heard freaking Joe Rogan shout out.
Yeah, man, there's some
bangers.
You
got stars in every division, man. Pretty much,
and that's the thing, and I the game changer for it all too, right? If you could feel BKFC climbing, you could sense it, right? You could feel it, and the Connor move, right? Like that seals the deal. I know there's a lot, again, speaking of politics or whatever, but at the end of this, Connor McGregor, and he's tying on with, like, he's here with you guys. He's like that, you know. Boom, that's the big move. That was a big move.
And I saw people shitting on the fact that we're going to be fighting a bull fighting arena in Spain. And that turned out to be the best fight of the year at that spot.
Yeah, man. Like, they're doing some wicked things. They're going to fight in Italy. Like, whatever, you know, it's the best. I don't know, man. I don't think there's anything better.
Scared money don't make money. And I mean, I will give Feldman that. He's going for it. Very bold moves. I just wish he would give me the Mike Perry and Redneck fight.
Yes.
And I wish you would stop leaning on these social media followers. Like, even a cat like Houston Alexander I interviewed. This guy's 5-0, 6-0 with bare knuckle. And because he's like 51, 52, they like, nah, you can't
fight anymore. Yeah, I've been waiting for him to fight again, man. He's like, it's Houston Alexander. He's a beast, and he's still doing it, right? Like, he still looks like he could smash anybody. Anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's fared well. And that's another thing. Bare knuckle, I look at like, well, about it's kind of like this extension to your career. You know what I'm saying? Like,
big time.
If you fizzle out in MMA, hey, guess what? You can still go to bare knuckle. You fizzle out in boxing, you could do like Austin, no doubt, Trout, and go win the belt in bare knuckle and have a second career. It's gonna definitely extend shelf life. I know what I was gonna say. It reminds me of the Big Three that Ice Cube started.
Yes,
like the NBA players can actually go and play in there and make money, still playing basketball and still do what they love. Because I mean, as a fighter, like Redneck said, you really can't retire from this stuff, man.
Even when you
hang it up, there's not really no really retiring from the fight game. You're probably going to start training fighters or something, or open a gym or something of that nature, man.
Big time. Like, that's, I'm already doing that, right? Because I've already been past my retirement. It was, like I said, it was, I had to give up on the game. I got into MMA to get into bare knuckle. Like, that's like, that was the way in, right? And you see some of these guys, even like you're saying, maybe a second career, but like, we're going to see some of these guys at the top of their game and this be the place they choose to be, right? Like, I don't know, Poirier, you're seeing some of these guys show up. Like, he doesn't necessarily have to retire from UFC. He doesn't have to. Dude could still go fight for the title and likely he has a good shot at winning it. Bring him in because his hands are weapons, right? I'd like to see these guys come in. And Robbie Lawler, imagine fucking Robbie Lawler throwing down in bare knuckle.
And Perry caught him out at the last event. I mean, it would have a draw. I know that much.
It would. Perry does a smart move with that stuff, right? But he's almost being like Jake Paul's and like, well, that's, you know, Robbie Lawler, you should be fighting the high. Let's talk about where it should be. Fight for the title, fight Redneck, and let's go. Like, that's the fight.
So we about to be hitting this hour mark, but I got another question that I always like to ask. Do you think bare knuckle fighting can be as big as the UFC?
100%, no doubt. I not only see it, I believe it. In 10 years, no doubt in my mind it's going to be bigger. I think it's on a faster trajectory and a faster pace. Even if we look at the numbers, I bet you're seeing a skyrocket to the moon with that. And I think everybody knows. Like, I'm getting into the official Fight Federation to bring combat sports. So I want to bring as much as possible. But bare knuckle, I believe, is going to be the biggest, and that's what I want to latch on to. So we have, whether it be BKFC, whether it be BYB, maybe official Fight Federation steps into the, throws our name in the hat, because I believe that bare knuckle will be the best combat sports on the planet, and I only see it getting bigger.
And I think bare knuckle, personally, I think it makes boxing and MMA less interesting when you watch like a BKFC,
yes,
like card. It just makes it less interesting. I mean, you got 12 bare knuckle fights usually on a card. And you'll have a female fight where teeth could get knocked out and bloody as hell. And I mean, like last fight, what, Christine Ferreira and Christine Vicens. I mean, Vicens' face was swollen when she got out of there. And I interviewed her before the fight. Beautiful lady, man. But after Christine Ferreira got, Faria got done with her, she wasn't looking too beautiful. I could tell you that, but.
Well, dude, this is where we are in society. And you know what? That's where we are as humans. It's built into us, right? It's human nature. You want to see blood. You want to see warriors. You want to see that fight. And then the best thing that I love about bare knuckle and everything is you are warriors. And as soon as the fight's over, for the most part, you know, people are selling tickets. You can mouth off and do whatever else. But for at the end of the day, you're throwing down and you're hugging that person at the end. And like, you just went to war. And yeah, bare knuckle, man. I think we're bringing the past back to the future now. It's going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, I agree. Most of the guys do have a lot of more respect for each other after the fights. The women, though, they could tend to get a little bit more personal from what I've seen.
But oh, 100%.
Like, way more respectful after the fights.
Yeah, the girls, they really have, it's a different, right? Men and women are different. They're just different. And yeah, they can really get into it. And that happens. And again, that promotes it, right? But like you said, again, I think with bare knuckle, the most beautiful thing about it is the fighter safety, as weird as it sound, is there. Most of that stuff is superficial. Yeah. Like, I just got busted up. I got stitches in my face. It's like, that stuff heals. You know, your brain, if with those bodies, you're taking 300-400 punches in the face with boxing gloves, facing bombs, your brain's going to get shook. It's going to get rattled. The evidence is there. It's appeared. Bare knuckle, we're seeing, right? The tests are happening as we speak. It's a whole new era, and you can see that the damage is much less. And I think that it's really going to take off as high as possible soon.
I got one more question before we go. I interviewed Justin Watson. He just broke the record for the fastest knockout in combat sports history. They said it was 2.9, but it looked more like 2.5 to me. Do you think anybody's ever going to break that in our lifetime?
Man, you know what's funny? You should see my notes and everything from last year. My goal was always like, I wanted the quickest knockout. It was like 6 seconds, just, you know, in. That's going to be tough to beat, man, because you gotta drop it right off the bat. You know, the fun thing is, though, he just set the tone and people are going to be trying for it. I'm 100% going to aim for 2 seconds. Just, you know what I mean? It's going to be fun. Like that's incredible. We'll see. We got it. Well, it might, I think it's, records are meant to be broken. I think we can see 2 seconds. Somebody hit the floor in 2 seconds.
Cause that Ruben, Ware one was on Robbie. I forgot his last name. I can't think of his name right now. He's going to be fighting next in Pachanga, but that was pretty quick. It was just like, ding. Yeah. 1-2 seconds, bam. But this one's gonna be tough to break, man. I think it was more like 2.5 in my opinion, because they showed a video playing it back and it was literally they were like 0.4 seconds off. It was a lot quicker than they said.
It's gonna be wild because guys are gonna have to, they're gonna try and time the bell almost like a starting block now, right? Yeah. Like, like they're gonna, it's gonna it's gonna be crazy. I love it though. It's cool, right? And that's gonna be part of bare knuckle too, is the fastest knockout in combat sports history is in bare knuckle. And that's, you know, get that toe of the line, get them nice and close. That's the only sport that's going to have a chance.
Yeah, they got the bonuses. You get the knockout of the night bonus or the fight of the night. Now, you won't get fight of the night because, you know, those usually go like 4 or 5 rounds and whatnot. But you could definitely get knockout of the night if you do it real quick. Like,
sure.
Before we go, anybody you want to shout out, man? Any sponsors, anything?
Whoever's rolling with this. The Official Fight Federation is kicking off, and we're looking for sponsors. We're looking for people to team up with, so I'm really stoked about that, obviously. Pitang Wolf, Rasheem Wolverine, myself as well. Always want to get a name on the back. I've had a couple, but we're looking for some new sponsors, so I don't want to throw any names out. This could be you right here we're talking about. But shout out to Gary Goodrich again for always giving me everything he's got and the off team.
Well, I appreciate you hitting me up, man. You're a friend of the show now. Anytime you want to come back on, just let me know. And definitely we need a politic about, that fight party for Knuckle Mania in Philly.
Definitely, man. Yes, let's talk about that. And, Millions.co. Always got to shout out Millions.co. They're helping fighters. They're helping everybody with what they got. So check that out. Go check us, both of us, out at Millions.co. And, let's see if we can get that thing together. That'd be fun, man. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, let me shout them out real quick, because when they reached out, it was like a definitely like a no-brainer situation, because they told me every interview I would upload, they would actually make me 3 or 4 clips. They said they would exclusively sell my merchandise on there. They make flyers for that. They'll set up my links for my watch parties and stuff like that. If I want to do watch parties, I could stream live on their site for free. So it's definitely got some real, real good advantages for anybody doing any kind of content like this.
Yeah, man, dude, big time. And great shout out, and great. I'm glad that, if probably wasn't for them, we might not be chatting. So huge shout out to Millions.co. And thank you again for giving me the time, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
And really looking forward to working with you some more, brother.
All right, man. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, my man. Take care.
All right. Peace. Well, there you have it. Another Bare Knuckle Fighter interview. In the books, James Flash Dalzell is fighting for Havoc FC, which is Havoc Fighting Championship, that's based out of Canada. And as he said, they were the first organization to actually bring Bare Knuckle to Canada. And be on the lookout for his official Fight Federation events that should be coming up here real soon and whatnot. And hopefully me and him can link together and see what's up with this Philadelphia Knuckle Mania fight party on Millions.co. And definitely go to Millions.co with the exclusive merch on there. We got the new little apparel. We got all the Bare Knuckle fight interviews we got, and the other MMA interviews as well, and a bunch of different clips that you could check out from those interviews as well. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.